What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Three in the Key podcast. It's myself, Rai Chai. That's what the friends call me. Feel free to do the same. And I'm joined by MD once again. MD, I've missed you, man. How are you doing?
What up, what up, what up? Miss you too, man. Sorry, I've been just slammed with work and with life. It's been crazy. But I'm back, baby. I'm ready. I've got so much to say, so many thoughts. I mean, the Lakers have won their first playoff series in the past, like, what, 8 years? It's been a while, and I'm excited to talk Laker basketball.
Absolutely. I'm glad you're back too, man. I thought the corporate life had slayed you for good, and I would never see or hear from you again. But you've resurrected, and it's a good day to be recording and talking about Lakers ball. So, sir, you're correct. We'll hop right into a little bit of recap here. While you were on hiatus, slaying those corporate giants, the Lakers advanced to the second round. Woot woot. And the matchup is officially set. The Rockets defeated the Thunder in 7 games. And we got to take a moment just to talk about that game, man, because that game was, that was stupid. It was crazy how intense and on par with the narrative of CP3 and Harden with all the flopping. But what was your impression of that game, man?
I honestly think the real game within the game was seeing between Harden and CP3 who could get fined more or get more fines from flopping more, like who could rack up the higher amount. Like that's what they were aiming for with all the flops that was happening at the end. It was just ridiculous. And we've seen that time and time again, but I love the game. It was so exciting. It was definitely a little anticlimactic at the end for it to kind of come down to just a turnover or, and not even like that 1 second where they just literally throw the ball to Steven Adams. He doesn't even get to catch it. And then that was it. I was like, wow, after all of this back and forth, the missed free throws, the craziness, the flops, the fouls, I was hoping for a more exciting ending, but I'll take it. I was secretly hoping CP3 and the Thunder would win because I feel like that's a better matchup for us than Houston is, especially since they're still not at full power yet with Russ only being able to play a couple games with the team after taking that small break. But I just want to give like a round of applause to the Thunder, man. Like no one thought that team would make it to the playoffs. No one thought they like had a 0.2% of chance making to the playoffs. At least that's what it said on my Instagram feed like 20 times today. and it was ridiculous that they did. And then on top of that, to take the series 7 games and still have an opportunity to win at the end, which honestly, I think they should have won. But you definitely see the kind of young rookie mistakes that happened from like Shai and Lou Gort. I can't even pronounce his name properly.
I think it's Lou Dort with a D.
Lou Dort. Yes, Dort. Excuse me.
Some respect on his name, man.
Yeah, he deserves it after having a great game like that. But seeing kind of like whenever CP3 was doubled or CP3 didn't have the ball, they were kind of in panic mode. And so not being able to have that confidence, running sets, still running your set that coach called, that's to me what led to Houston winning the game. I felt like it was more of the Thunder losing the game than Houston winning it. But what are your thoughts?
I love your comment about how it was like a game within a game about who could get fined more. Because I literally was laughing out loud during parts of the game when I saw the flopping take place. Specifically in the fourth quarter during crunch time, there was a possession, back-to-back possessions, where CP3 tried to flop. It didn't get called. And then Harden, literally the very next play, tried to flop and it didn't get called. So I was like, this sums it up right there. I was looking everywhere on Twitter to try and find that sequence, but I couldn't find it. I'm so mad. I got to like find League Pass or something and just watch the whole game to find that part. But that summed it up perfectly, just the back-to-back flops. Like you mentioned also with Steven Adams, that was the other thing that stood out to me. I was like, I think it was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander who was inbounding the ball, and Steven Adams wasn't looking for the ball whatsoever. But if he were to just call for the ball, his defender was behind him and there wasn't anyone within 10 feet in the paint. It could have just lobbed it into him and he could have scored or whatever, but I don't know. I ultimately think the better team won in the Rockets, but I was rooting for Harden to get knocked out in the first round because I can't stand Harden and I just wanted to see him lose.
But I'm with you on that. Same thing. And you and I talked about this earlier. It is hilarious. It wasn't just the last play of the game, but how many plays in that like last 5-minute sequence, Steven Adams was open. Like, he literally had a clear cut to the basket, but no one gave him the ball. It was so sad. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, OKC could have won by like 10 points. And you're right. Absolutely right. They're not the better team talent-wise, but they just are a rookie team. First time for a lot of them in the playoffs. And if CP3 didn't have the ball, they were kind of stuck. And so it's okay. Like we said earlier, right? We want the Lakers to go through the ringer. We need them to go through the fire in order for them to kind of transform from this Caterpie into this Butterfree that we want them to become in order to win a chip, you know?
True. I'm just anguishing over the thought of us having to go through the Metapod phase where all we can do is use Harden, which is kind of ironic because we're going to be playing James Harden. But I remember having my Game Boy and I had, this is so random, but I remember having my Game Boy when I was younger and I was playing Pokemon and I was in a trainer battle. So obviously you can't run. And I was down to my last Pokemon and it was a Metapod against a Metapod, and both of us only knew Harden, so legit nothing could happen. I had to literally turn off my Game Boy without saving and just turn it back on because it's just two Metapods hardening. That's a true story, man. I'm not even lying.
That's crazy, dude. That's why you had to get the Caterpie so that he has the tackle and the string shot still or something, or the Weedle. Otherwise, screwed because it's just Harden.
Yeah.
And it was so annoying. Like, if you caught one that just had Harden, you would have to throw it out. You would always make it your first Pokemon. So it comes out and then let it survive because it has a high defense, and then change it and throw out the other Pokemon just so it can get some experience. So frustrating. That was our lives from like 8 to 14. It's like, that were the biggest times, like the biggest problems in our lives. I wish we could go back. Was.
I know, to go back. And now you're worried about corporate life and presentations and slideshows.
I know.
We'll relish it. It'll always be with us. Well, you brought up the better team winning, and I think you're right. They did with the Rockets. And I wanted to start off, you know, kind of talking about the Rockets by taking a look back in our past, similar to with Pokemon and the Metapod battles. The Lakers also have a history and a past with the Rockets. This is actually going to be the first time they're matching up in the playoffs since 2009. And if you recall correctly, MD, that series went 7 games, which I was honestly super surprised to read that. I totally forgot about that. Did you remember that it went 7 games?
I did not. I did remember it going 7 games because did Fisher get suspended or something? Didn't he get in trouble for totally leveling Scola?
He did. I don't remember if he got suspended. I know for sure he got ejected. I don't remember if he got suspended, but yes.
He got fined or something, right? It was ridiculous.
I think so. And I literally watched that YouTube clip earlier today to remind myself of how that happened, because it's literally one of my favorite sequences in basketball history, at least in my, you know, young life. I never watched anything much older than past like the 80s, but Luis Scola, remember Luis Scola? Wow, pause just to soak in that name, Luis Scola. He was being, you know, a freaking jerk, to keep this G-rated, to like Lamar Odom and Luke Walton. He was picking on him and, you know, just being a pest. And D Fish saw Luis Scola coming up to set a screen on him. And Fish just turns and sees Louis Scola coming and just lowers his shoulder and rams him right in the chest and just levels him. And my favorite part about this play isn't that D-Fish leveled Scola. It's the fact that Yao Ming was on the bench and Yao Ming stands up. And when the camera goes over to him, it's zoomed in really close on his face. And it's just this look of pure horror. Like, what is happening? I can only imagine Yao Ming's like, this did not happen overseas. Just like fearing for his life. If you get a chance to rewatch it, watch it. It is pure gold. But yeah, that's the last time the Lakers met in the playoffs. I was surprised to see that it went seven. Do you remember any of the players on that Rockets roster back in 09?
I'm going to guess some and let me know if I'm right.
Sure.
So I know that team, you already mentioned Yao, but I know that team had Meta for sure. Luis Scola. Was this the team where it was like T-Max, Scola, and Yao? They're supposed to be the big, like that, their big three, but then T-Mac got injured or something?
I don't remember if T-Mac was actually on this team. I can confirm right now he was not on this team.
No. But, who else was on this team? Battier was on this team?
He was. And you know who one of their other top scorers were, which I totally forgot about this guy? Aaron Brooks. Do you remember Aaron Brooks?
Oh my gosh, he was so good. Yeah, he was on Oregon. He went to Oregon and he was so good. I remember Final Four. He like took Oregon to like Elite Eight or Final Four or something. That guy was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Another fun fact for you here that I found while doing some digging. There is actually a bench player who only averaged like 10. Well, actually, he averaged like 19 minutes a game, but he only averaged 5 points a game in this series for the Rockets. He went on to become an all-star, a multi-time all-star and an NBA champion on the Rockets. Can you guess who this player is? And I'll give you a hint. He is a recent NBA champion and known as a household name for this franchise now. It's no longer the Rockets.
Oh, my goodness.
His last name?
His name is Kyle Lowry. I forgot he used to be on the Rockets.
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
That is so crazy. Because he got traded to the Rockets because both him and Conley were on the Grizzlies together, right? And they could only pick one of them to really shine and really grow. And so they traded away Kyle. That is crazy. Yep. That is
Isn't that weird to think about now?
Yeah. That's so crazy. He's been in the league that long. Good for Kyle.
Yeah, and he's still thriving because I'm going down the roster for the Rockets. I don't think anyone else is still playing. I don't think anyone else is still playing. But Kyle Lowry isn't only still playing. He's like the cornerstone of that franchise.
Yeah. Pascal, yeah.
Yep.
Who else is on that roster? Shane Battier was on that roster, right?
Yep. Good old Battier was on the roster.
Dude, I always wanted him to be on the Lakers. Like, I think he would have been an amazing asset for us.
He'd been a good 3-and-D guy for the Lakers for sure.
Yeah, solid. Who else was on that team?
Someone else super noticeable, unless
Chuck Hayes. Do you remember him?
I don't remember.
He was a short guy, but he was a center. He always played the center position. I'm short. I don't know. Maybe I identify with him because I play big, but I'm small. You know.
Chuck Hayes just sounds like an old school basketball player name.
He does.
Chuck Hayes. I had his basketball card when I collected.
Who else is on this team? I just pulled up the roster. Brian Cook, old Laker. He was on that team.
You're
Brett
right.
Barry, nice 3-point champ. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. There's some old school players on that team. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. So I just wanted to bring up the fact that the Lakers are playing the Rockets for the first time since 09. So it's been 11 years. And that was a very competitive series. And so with that said, I want to start transitioning and getting your opinion on whether or not you think this series is going to be competitive, and if the quote unquote pocket Rockets with their undersized roster are going to be a legit threat to the Lakers championship run. But we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll get your insight on that, MD. All right, we are back. So, MD, like I alluded to before the break, the Lakers playing the Rockets in the second round, and they have a very unique roster. They are incredibly small, and going up against the Lakers' gigantic front court, it's going to be a contrast in playing styles for sure. My question to you, are the Rockets a legit threat to take down the Lakers?
Yes, absolutely they are. I think this is why we didn't want to face them, right? That was the concern we had. They are a legit threat because they attacked our very weakness. The biggest concern we have right now, the perimeter. They're a perimeter-focused team. So they can shoot the lights out in games. It's crazy. Harden shoots lights out. Like, I don't understand how to defend him. Like, I've just watched so many games now where, like, literally the guy is kissing Harden and he still makes his shot right in front of him.
I think he thrives off of the kissing, actually.
Mm-hmm. It empowers him. and so just being such a perimeter-centric and fast-paced team, those are the two biggest weaknesses we had coming into the bubble. Three-point percentage, guarding the perimeter for three-point percentage, and on the offensive end, shooting threes. We cannot hit a three for our life. And that's why I think this will be a great test for our team. See how Frank matches up, you know, who's going to guard Harden. Braun has been taking a lot of, like, defensive assignments voluntarily, and that's great. So I'm curious who he's going to match up with, who's going to be in our rotation. With Rondo hopefully coming back, it should help on the offensive end lower LeBron's load of having to be the main ball handler and distributor. It's definitely still, like we just mentioned, still our metapod phase. And so I'm excited to see these Lakers transform one more time through this series.
Well said. Well said. I agree with you. I think the Rockets are a legit threat. And obviously they're easy to pick on with all the memes and everything of PJ Tucker having to guard AD. That's not my concern. Like, AD is going to get his points. The Lakers are going to do a good job dominating the paint. But statistically, a three-pointer is worth more than a two-pointer. And if the Rockets get hot, and they're able to sustain that level of efficiency from the three-point line throughout a series, then the Lakers could easily get beat. And so I'm hoping that the Lakers can get creative on defense to make sure that the efficiency of the Rockets isn't high, because they're going to take a ton of shots. I think the last time I looked at the stats for the Rockets, they averaged something like 50 three-point attempts a game. 50. And they don't have a very good efficiency with that. I want to say it was in the 30s, like 30-something percent of how many they actually make. But you take that many and you have a night where you hit 40% or, God forbid, 45%, then the Lakers aren't just capable of losing a few games. They're capable of getting blown out. And so I think it's going to be very interesting to see how Vogel game plans against the, not just the superstar backcourt of Westbrook and Harden, but in general, like, okay, how are we going to make sure that these guys aren't going to get hot from three and our perimeter defense is going to be right in the spotlight for everyone to see. So it's going to be interesting.
I know. We're just that our team is going to have to focus on just forcing the drive. And I think it'll have to really rely on AD. And we have the people, we have the team, the players to do it, focusing and pushing the drive, just closing out on shooters super hard and trusting Dwight, JaVale, and AD to come up with that clutch block. You know, that's, I feel like, the only way we're going to win and be able to kind of stay on par with the Rockets. Force them to shoot twos, not threes. As many twos as possible.
Yeah, 100%. I'd rather see Harden drive to the basket and score 50 points, but the majority of them be, you know, drives and, you know, floaters, yeah, than to see Harden score 25 and, you know, PJ Tucker and the rest of the gang are also getting hot from three, because that's going to translate into the Rockets actually winning some games rather than Harden just being a one-man show. Kind of how Lillard, how it was with Lillard in the first round, actually.
True. I think playing against Portland couldn't have been a better kind of test or pretest or study guide for Houston. We know how to match up. We know how to focus on just the two main guards, Russ and Harden. It's what we did against Dame and CJ, and kind of push and limit the other players and let them get Harden and Russ get their 25, 30 points. Because at the end of the day, that's going to be what, 60, 70 points? That's not enough to win, and that's not enough to beat us.
No, it's not. And these teams have completely different play styles. Like we mentioned earlier, it's literally a small ball team. In the Rockets, they fully embraced it. They're a small ball team versus the Lakers, who are more of the old school front court dominant team. Like just, you know, high percentage shots, play down low, get to the rim, utilize the mid range like we see with AD, and win that way with efficiency, where the Rockets are more just volume and trying to outscore the opponent with three pointers. So I'm super intrigued to see how that plays out, because I feel like both teams are each other's kryptonite. Mm-hmm. You know, like they both could knock the other out pretty quickly if they execute their game plan like they want to. So it's like, which style is going to prevail will be interesting to see.
I'm excited for that as well. On another note, did you see the ending of the Toronto-Boston game? I just sent you like the last 5 seconds via Instagram. You should check it out. It's crazy. It was 103, 103, 101 or something like that. And literally inbound pass with like 2-3 seconds left. Cross court pass to OG Anunoby. Corner three, opposite side. Hits the three to win the game. Toronto wins 104-103.
Wow. Crazy. I'm watching it right now on the Instagram post that you sent me. Jeez, that's a blown defensive assignment somewhere. He was wide open.
Yeah.
But good for the Raptors. I hope that the Raptors move on and beat the Celtics. But it's going to be, I think I was just telling you this before we started recording. If Toronto were to win this game, which they did, I could easily see the series going seven. But obviously, if they were to go down 0-3, it doesn't matter. They're going to lose that series. But I think this could go seven now.
I agree. Excuse me. It wasn't a few seconds left on the clock. It was 0.05 seconds left on the clock. 0.5 seconds left on the clock. That is crazy. Almost as good as Fish's 0.4.
Wow. 0.5. And and watching the video, he literally was able to square up, catch it, and take a shot.
Like he just stood there. He just stood there.
He didn't gather all the way, but still, like how, if you're on defense for the Celtics, how do you let someone catch it like that cleanly? I don't know. That's why the Celtics suck.
Boo, Celtics.
All right. Well, good job, Toronto. Hey, we were talking about Kyle Lowry, and look at that. His team pulled out a victory. Speaking of point guards, Rondo is actually going to be expected to play in this series finally, because his availability was being teased throughout the Portland series, whereas like, oh, he's available, but then he's questionable because he has back spasms. And it was just kind of like this endless carousel of maybe he's going to play and then he doesn't. But there was a report that came out from Vogel saying that he really expects Rondo to play on Friday in game one against the Rockets. And we've already talked about this in some pretty good detail, but that's definitely a good thing for the Lakers. We could use some more bodies in our backcourt because it's a little thin sometimes, and sometimes certain players aren't playing well, and it'd be nice to slot some other people in. So it's going to take a while for him to get going. I wouldn't expect him to, you know, check in on game one and do a phenomenal job checking Westbrook or doing any kind of scoring, but it's a nice thing to note. He's going to be available, it seems like, from the start.
I know. It is going to be exciting. So exciting to have Rondo back and for him to just, I mean, I know we talked about his defense so many times, but just, I didn't realize like how much we missed him on the offensive end, how stagnant our offense becomes, especially without having a point guard other than LeBron and Rondo. That second unit is terrible. It's literally whoever takes the ball down, set a pick for AD, and then AD gets the ball. Like, that's the same set over and over and over again.
And I think you hit it right on the head. I think that's the main reason why the Lakers have struggled so much when LeBron's off the floor, and it's just Caruso or sometimes even like KCP bringing the ball up. We don't have like a true floor general, you know, like Caruso has great IQ and he plays really well when LeBron's on the court. But if he's not on the floor, then you need someone who is running the offense, who has a very high IQ, who can make the right decisions, who can find the open man and lead the team. And Rondo is that guy. Like, he's not going to put the team on his back, but he's the guy that you can at least know he's going to help others get involved and contribute, which the Lakers desperately need. So hopefully when he comes back, we see like some of those glory days of the Lakers earlier in the season when they were rolling start to come back, even with like Dwight. Like, even if Rondo's on the floor with Dwight and Dwight starts to get going because Rondo's finding him, like, that's a huge plus, you know, if Dwight gets rolling.
It's huge.
So we'll see there.
Switching sides of the ball.
Yeah.
What about our defense now? How do you think KCP, Caruso, and Danny Green can slow down Westbrook and Harden? Do you think we even try to slow down Westbrook and Harden, or do you think we just focus on the role players?
Yeah. I mean, you have to focus on trying to slow them. I think the biggest one for me is Westbrook, because I think Harden's going to get his on most nights, regardless of what you do with him. He's kind of his own worst enemy. Like we saw in game 7 with OKC, he just becomes really cold and can't hit anything. And sometimes the big moments, he doesn't rise to the occasion. So it's like he kind of cancels himself out sometimes, but more often than not, he's going to be okay and get his. Westbrook, I feel like, is the ultimate X factor. And the Lakers need to make sure that he's contained and doesn't get on a roll. I wrote down this stat because I thought it was pretty crazy. Against the Lakers this season, Westbrook has absolutely feasted. He's averaging against the Lakers 38 points, 8.5 rebounds, 6 assists on 62% field goal percentage.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's practically playing like the best player in the league when he plays against the Lakers.
Yeah.
And if obviously he's not going to have those types of numbers in the playoffs against the Lakers, but if he can elevate his game and play at a consistent superstar level, which he is capable of doing for sure, but if he can do that, then the Lakers are in trouble. So if I'm the Lakers, I put a lot of attention on making sure Westbrook does not get going. And let Harden do his thing, you know, use up a lot of time with all of his dribbles and all that, and just focus on Westbrook. That's my analysis of it. I don't know. What do you think?
I am in total agreement with you. I mean, the stats you just listed off are ridiculous. Those are like, that's what I average when I play 2K. 38 points, 8.5 rebounds, 6 assists. That's like my created player average on the New York Knicks right now. So it's like, it's crazy that those are actual real stats. And to your point earlier of, yes, we do need to slow them down or at least make it difficult. There's no way anyone should be averaging 62.7% field goal percentage. That's just lazy defense then, or not even trying.
Yep.
So I know the Lakers will come up with a game plan. I know we have enough bodies to throw at Harden and Westbrook to just get some kind of difference there and not let them take over this game.
100%, 100%. So let me ask you this then, as we kind of round out this segment about the Rockets. If the Lakers ultimately go on to win this series, what do you think will be the defining characteristic for the Lakers? What went well for us to actually win the series? If you could point to one thing.
I don't think it's a defining characteristic. I think it's a defining player. And that defining player is going to have to be, again, Anthony Davis. We've talked about this, and you mentioned it. The Rockets' kryptonite is having an amazing all-star big man that can play inside and out and can change games. It sounds exactly like we have one of those. And his name's Anthony Davis. AD, the brow, and he needs to play like Anthony Davis. Any game where he scored over 30 points, I think our win-to-loss ratio was so low. I think it was something like, I looked up the stat the other day, it was like 75-80% of the games where he scores like over 30, 32 points, we almost win like 3 out of 4 times. That's crazy. Wow. So he has the opportunity to do that against the Robert Covingtons and the PJ Tuckers that they're going to throw at him. So as long as he's able to be that effective, that efficient, force the defense to kind of cave and people to kind of help on him and get LeBron open shots, get KCP open shots, and kind of make him the main offensive or defensive focus on the Rockets' end and force the game to slow down, that's it. That's how we should win.
Yeah. I'll expand on that a little bit as to what I think the defining characteristic will be. I think in addition to AD, it will be other bigs getting involved and having efficient games. So Dwight is really the person I'm thinking of most. Like, this is a series tailor-made for him to start to get some momentum and show that he can make a difference in the playoffs. Because he showed glimpses of it in the regular season where he would have incredibly efficient games and he could, you know, get double doubles relatively easy and score 15 plus points, but it's been very sporadic. But I feel like this series could be huge for him if he gets the minutes and he converts and is aggressive. So if the Lakers win, I think it's for sure going to be a huge credit to AD, like you said, but also to the other bigs getting involved, namely Dwight.
I'm with you. That is absolutely correct. I love it.
And then on the opposite side of the coin, if our worst fears come true and the Rockets do end up beating the Lakers and advancing to the conference finals, what do you believe will be the characteristic that did the Lakers in the series?
The key that will force us to lose this game and will make us lose this game, honestly, is, and I think it's going to be our shooting percentage. We cannot be inefficient, whether that's three-pointers, two-pointers. It's going to be our efficiency on the offensive end and how we affect the efficiency of Houston and Harden and Westbrook and all those other players. That's what's going to be the game changer. I'm going to tell you right now, whichever team has the better shooting efficiency is going to win each game.
Wow. Analysis. No, I believe it. I mean, obviously whoever shoots more efficiently wins the game, but I think what makes the Rockets so unique is because, like we mentioned earlier, they take so many more three-pointers. If the Lakers are having a terrible shooting game, that means that they're not converting on two-point field goals. Mm-hmm. Whereas if the Rockets are having an efficient game, they're making three pointers. So even if we shot equal and we both teams shot 45% from the field, then the Rockets are going to win because they're able to score more points with three pointer than a two. So yeah, I hear you on that for sure. For me, it's going to be, if we lose this series, I think it's going to be because Westbrook just went into beast mode and took over was able to complement James Harden in a way where he truly was the number two best player on the court for the Rockets, because he's been such a liability for the Rockets sometimes. I mean, you don't even have to go past game seven of the OKC series. Like, he was so bad down the stretch. I couldn't believe like some of the plays he was doing where he was driving in the lane, getting really good looks, and he was just clanking them. Like, he could just not convert. But if he gets going and he averages 25 points a game for the Rockets and is shooting a good field goal percentage, somewhere around like 45%, then yeah, that could be what ultimately does the Lakers in. So I think it'll be Westbrook if we lose, but hopefully that doesn't happen. Last thing, MD, before we close out, we got to get our prediction. Who's winning this series and in how many games?
I'm going to take the Lakers in a sweep.
Wow. You're a brave man.
I think the Rockets kind of know that they're shook. I don't trust them to come back and kind of shake that off. I am hoping the Lakers, and I guess I'm playing on the two kind of hopes, that one, Rockets are too shook after going a seven-game series where they thought they would easily win. Like, everyone thought, and the hope was like, oh, this should be like a five-game series, even with CP3 on the other side. Like, there's no way Danilo, Shai, Lou Dort, Steven Adams, there's no way they're going to take them to seven games. So I'm hoping, one, that means Houston's a little shook, has no confidence, lacking confidence. And then two, it's the opposite for the Lakers, that they performed so poorly. Literally, the series was so close. Like, the predictions were so close to kind of like it going seven games, or even it not being as dominant as the Lakers had it, where it was 4-1. And so hoping that they've gained confidence as well on the flip side, and that they're able to come in right away with that confidence, establishing their dominance inside and just pounding the ball down low and not giving Harden and Westbrook a chance.
Nice. So a sweep for MD. You had a bold prediction, at least at the time I thought it was bold, by saying the Mavs would take the Clippers to seven games. And I did not think that was going to happen, but it happened. I mean, the Mavs didn't end up winning, unfortunately, but yeah, that was a good call on your part. I will say the Lakers, of course, in my opinion, will pull this series out, but I'm going to give Houston two games. I think the Lakers will ultimately win it in six. I feel like six is the max that the series will get pushed, but I'm going to predict, put me on the record right now, the two losses that the Lakers would have in this scenario are going to be because one game, the Rockets get scorching hot from three, and they're just knocking down everything at a high efficiency rate. And then that second game, I think the Lakers have a terrible efficiency game where they're not able to hit anything, and the Rockets are having an average game. But because the Rockets shoot so many more threes, it's a game that we could lose. So I feel like those are the scenarios where the Lakers drop two games. So put me down for Lakers in six. But hey, we both have them moving on to the conference finals. Fingers crossed that happens. I would love to see it. So with that, that's our series preview. MD, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for slaying those corporate giants. And look forward to recapping the first few games of the series once we're a little bit into the series here against the Rockets. So until then, everyone stay safe, stay healthy, and go Lakers.
Go Lakers. Glad to be back. Thank you for holding down the fort while I was away. And I'm trying to slay those corporate giants. I can't believe I'm going to play golf. Like, that's how you know I've completely assimilated into the corporate world. I'm playing golf like twice this week. It's crazy.
It's true. You just go Lakers. Go Lakers and use Harden as a metaphor.
I need to get away from this corporate life.
We can learn a lot from Metapod.
Yes, truly.
All right. Go Lakers.
Go Lakers.